Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host Robert, and the intro of this week's episode will feature nearly every music YouTuber known to man. Unfortunately, Fantano wouldn't return my calls. And with me I have...
Don't mind me, I'm just gonna be chilling most of the night anyway, because I want to save my bit for much later for a certain someone out there.
And
look, I know y'all do it. If I run X Studio, y'all would do this and that. Look, if I do the same shit, I take over. Like, none of the things you want, they ain't gonna happen. You want something, it ain't gonna happen. It gonna be my content, my way. It'll be all me, all me, all the time. You won't able to regret it, but this is my shit. But fuck it.
Yes, yes, we know. Blue Hybrid Studios. All Mark, all the time. Actually, that would be a good studio name for something. But what? Video games? Movies? A hip-hop label? Blue Hybrid Records does have a nice ring to it.
Hmm. Oh. That's just feeding me ideas.
What a day. One of these days. But, anyway... Here we are at episode 222. Triple twos. Gotta love that numerical alliteration.
222.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not a concept. What the fuck am I talking about? Anyway. So, yeah. New episode. How's everyone been doing this past week?
It's been a typical week. Not much to report. Just the same old, same old, same old. And, yeah. It's been hot over here, too. I think it was, like, 95 degrees today over here, which does not bode well when you have to wear a dress shirt and black pants at work.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Or driving a hot car because you have no air conditioning. But I'm going to get that fixed. I will get that fixed. And, yeah, it's just the usual business that I'm doing just to keep myself relatively stable. You all know the drill by now, but, yeah, not much to report. I do not live a very interesting, eventful life. I'm just riding everything out until E3 happens. Because we need something to talk about around here.
Well, man, the bright side, it keeps you out of trouble, unlike certain people we could name. We'll get to that later, though. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, remember when 2 weeks ago you said that when I got my shot, I would feel it in about 2 weeks or so? Maybe a few days earlier. Yeah, it hit me.
Oh.
And, also you said I might need ibuprofen and Tylenol. Give what else I needed. Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, what a
I think the good thing is having on both my days off, which, well, at least I'm at work, but fuck, I was miserable. I was like every Thursday was like, oh hey, I'm on my day off, and then in the middle of the day it's like, I feel so fucking good. It's like, I'm thinking, did I get food poisoning? Like, they're like, no, it's been long enough to know that shit was gonna happen. And it happened. And I felt like shit.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah, like thankfully it went away in a few days or so. I think my body's come back to my normal. I don't fucking remember every time or I need to puke in my trash can because yeah. But yeah, other than that, well, not much to report. I'm just. Doing whatever, even if my fatigue ass just not doing much, just doing what I usually do.
Yeah. As for me, nothing much to report on either. Just going about the usual business. And speaking of usual business, about time that we dive into, you know, our business here on this podcast. As always, we start with the new song discussions for the past week, and as always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and anticipate some new albums and pick up some new tunes. Or not, whatever your taste tells you to do. Alright, so starting right here at the top. So, back around December, the electronic producer Burial dropped a track called Chems. Of course, since we were, you know, off during December, most of it anyway, we missed it. But apparently he did promise a follow-up track, Dolphins, as a B-side to the physical release of an EP in April. Of course, delayed a bit, but, you know, now it's May and here we are with the song Dolphins. And a lot of it is, as a song, built out of a lot of hollow, creepy ambience. Mostly a lot of this, like, background creaking, like, you know, stepping on, like, old wood, hollow sounds of winds, the occasional bursts of this kind of mildly distorted human voice, very deep, warbled, kind of echoey wind sounds, like it's bouncing off the inside of, like, a giant log in a forest or something. And occasionally, as the voice pierces through the hollowness of it, there's still kind of like this, I don't really know how to describe it as kind of like an A24 horror film ambiance type of sound to it, you know? And of course, because it's called Dolphins, the song ends with some weird narration about dolphins. Because, I mean, why else would you call it Dolphins? It's not like this is a song about the hit, air quotes, manga series Hard-Boiled Cop and Dolphin, you know what I mean? I don't get that series.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a weird track. Like, I get the ambience and all that shit. I thought I get the, you know, droning sound of, well, you know, dolphins, cuss, well, dolphins. Even one guy just keeps saying dolphins. Because fuck it, dolphins. But yeah, this shit is pretty okay. If I have to rate it, I listen to it, but not, it's like, it's a solid 7.
Yep, pretty much. Moving on to the next track here. So, as you all remember, last year, 10 Tricks Point Never had dropped the new album, Magic 10 Tricks Point Never, which, you know, was a really good album. And now he's dropped a new track that is a sort of reworking of one of the tracks from that album, specifically the album closer Nothing Special. This time around, he is working with none other than Spanish singer Rosalía to, you know, do a new version of this here song. For the most part, the instrumental remains roughly the same. There's some slight tweaks here and there, mostly to leave a bit more breathing room for Rosalía's vocal performance to really shine through, sort of reducing the kind of auto-tune glitchiness that you got with the Lopatin's performance on the original track. Although towards the end, there is that, you know, burst of glitchiness distorting her vocals. It lets her stand out in a way that really complements the overall production of the original track fairly well. It's a solid reinterpretation. I dig this.
I kind of like Rosalía's vocal interpretation of this. Like, she does have a beautiful voice, maybe. But if she sings, especially in Spanish, and those fit well in the end of, you know, content that we all heard from that track, and yeah, I think it sort of enhanced it a bit. Like, it really got a new spin on this track. I dig it.
And moving on to the next track here. So, it looks like we now have song number 2 from the duo of Logic and Madlib, aka Magic. This one here is called Raddest Dad, and, you know, I feel like at this point we're mainly just evaluating Logic on the criteria of, is there any cringiness to this? And I guess, I paid close attention to the lyrics to make sure, and I guess technically not. At least not lyrically, anyway. Like, okay, there is a lot about, you know, his relationship to the industry and, you know, his come up. Especially one segment in particular where he brings up, you know, the likes of J. Cole, Mac Miller, Kendrick Lamar, Big Sean, Childish Gambino, etc. In reference to other rappers that were, like, blowing up around the time he dropped that first Bobby Tarantino mixtape. But I guess it's only really if you're thinking deeply about it afterwards, like, he's really comparing himself to Kendrick. Sure, okay. But, I mean, in the moment as you're listening to it, it technically sounds fine, and the rest of the song has nothing explicitly cringy. And, of course, the beat sounds pretty good as well, even if, according to the Genius page for this song, this is apparently just Mad Lib's beat from a Rock Marciano track called The Sacrifice. I didn't get a chance to listen to that original song, to be sure, but, I mean, I don't think they would let you lie about that on Genius. Then again, they'll let anyone interpret shit on Genius.
Okay, I did not know that was from another from another track. I would have heard that one first, but yeah, this one is less corny than the first track we heard, which that one was not as corny, but still got that cringiness in it. But this one is less of that. Still got the sense like the metal beat that I like, even if somebody else had the break, even though they might be good on that, but I'll go to that later on. This be a solid track.
And then there's the weird backmasking message at the end. It's kind of hard to hear, but apparently...
Yeah, it is.
Again, I'm relying on Genius here, because, I mean, the body of the main song apparently has, like, some nod to what this is supposed to mean. Like, you know, something about reversing and all that. And apparently the backmasked message, I'm not going to recite it in full, but the gist of it is that he's more or less clarifying that, like, when he retired, he still had, like, the itch to make actual music, and what he decided was that he more or less wanted to retire from the industry. Not necessarily from, like, making rap music as a whole, but, like, you know, being beholden to big labels and shit like that. Like, he might continue his career independently so he doesn't have to mess with all that bullshit, which
I mean,
like a weirdly specific way to define retirement, but you do you, Bobby. Anyway, speaking of logic, so has anybody seen those new Rick and Morty season 5 trailers?
Oh yeah, pretty good. The season was coming up in a month. Wow.
And they got, like, what, 5 more seasons after that to fulfill that order?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Really, really big network renewal from Adult Swim. And speaking of Adult Swim, time to check in with this past week's entry of the 2021 Adult Swim Singles Program. And this one originally stems from Alex Frankel, one half of the synth-pop duo Holy Ghost, who were featured on the very, very first one of these back in 2010. Now, with this one, this is one of Frankel's solo tracks that he actually dropped about a month back or so, called Still Got It. However, specifically, what we get here is a remix from a French electronic producer named Breakbot, who has been around for a bit. He's done, you know, produced his own original music, and has even done remixes for the likes of MGMT, Chromeo, and even Lizzo. Hell, he apparently has done 2 remixes of just this specific song alone. The first being the quote-unquote La Fiesta remix, and this being defined as the Club des Vedettes remix. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly. I obviously don't understand a lot of French words, to be clear. But listening to the original song, it kind of sounds like what you'd expect from Holy Ghost, with this kind of mix of contemporary synth pop and 70s dance music. The remix version here leans heavily into like new disco or kind of like Italo house. That main area, like, you know it as soon as you hear those piano chords, you know, the signature trademark of, like, 80s and 90s Italian dance music. And then you get a lot of those lush strings, these great chimes, super heavy on bass guitar groovage. This is absolutely as French electronic and dance as you could get. It reeks of, like, Daft Punk, for example. And it makes, you know, a pretty solid remix of a song. Though, why would you drop 2 remixes of a song that's a month old? That seems kind of excessive, isn't it? Especially coming from the same guy?
Yeah, it does. But I gotta say, I love this from the first one where it hit my ears. Like, look at me, it's funky, it's groovy. It's a bit to make you feel like you're in a disco. You're in there and just and just get lost in this song, which is pretty good. It's pretty good. I three songs in, I'm like, wow, I'm really liking this song.
Yeah, some really good stuff over here. Now, moving on to the next couple of tracks, time for another trip of Decibel Boost to the movies, which...
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Do we really have to do this? Is it too... I understand we're, like, 5 days out, but is it too late for Disney to pull out of whatever the fuck they're doing with Cruella?
Nope.
Did we really
need the live-action prequel story attempting to build a nuanced tale out of the lady who skins dogs for their fur for clothing?
I mean, you can argue it maybe sorta, kinda, maybe sorta work for Maleficent, but I don't think that's what they're going for here. They're just, they're all kinds of weird right now.
Oh my god. But yeah, I guess we're still getting the Cruella prequel that's not just a fever dream. And of course, already by this point, the film's soundtrack is out, which I'd like to point out features the likes of the Bee Gees, Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash, One Way or Another by Blondie. For some reason, it has Fire by the Ohio Players, which, if you know that song, it's from being the opening theme song to Hell's Kitchen. Or at least it was before, I guess, Fox decided they didn't want to pay out royalties to the Ohio Players. They're actually really inconsistent about that. Even when it comes to the Hulu uploads of the episodes. Sorry, I know I'm going on a tangent. I just don't want to think about this movie. But it's on the docket, so we have to. So, the opening song of the soundtrack comes from Florence and the Machine. Oh, Florence, why? You're better than this. And it's a track called Call Me Cruella, of course, you know, a little bit of a nod to the song from the original film, which it kind of sort of references in the melody, but not overly, at least not in an immediately obvious way. As expected, it kind of sounds very melodramatic in the way that a lot of Florence's material does, building up with this quiet strumming of acoustic guitars and a steady, subtle bass groove as she sings in a somewhat low-key, kind of menacing fashion before it, of course, swells into dramatic grandiosity in the back half of the track. It's only really about 2 minutes. This is pretty much the, you know, segue into the credits song, I'm figuring, and it's fine. It works as music, I suppose, but are you sure it's too late to backtrack and just say this whole thing was a prank?
You know, people say that the Get up back there when Joker came out and said, oh, that might get incel or something, some shit to say. But this is where I think if I give, basically Karen some shit to say. They could be wrong, motherfuckers say, like, get the fuck out of me! They could be wrong, they could be like those motherfuckers, I mean, those fuckers from, like, from A Quiet Place Part 2, where they'd be like, all that shit.
Yeah, this is a movie concept that I just am baffled by. I guess they had to have a song tie-in at some point. And yet, this isn't the first time they've done this, because again, with Maleficent, they did the sort of a similar thing with the song Once Upon a Dream from Sleeping Beauty, performed by one Lana Del Rey.
Yep.
And both of these songs have the same lush, but also hushed and kind of monotone and dreary vibe they're going for. Except here, I know it's intentional. This didn't do much for me. It serves a purpose, I guess, but yeah.
You know,
I'm not going to pay $30 to see your friggin' movie. Not when I can watch it in 3 months for free anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, what does it say about this whole trend of live-action Disney movies that Maleficent is where it peaked? I don't know what that says.
Yeah.
But we can move on now, at least, because that's not the only film soundtrack thing we got here. As soon, the movie industry will gear up for the multidimensional, generation-spanning, avant-garde space-time superseding epic Space Jam 2 Battle for Reality. Okay, fine. Technically, it's Space Jam: A New Legacy, but God, that Eyepatch Wolf fanfiction sounds like a so much cooler movie. Then we get Space Jam 3 with him fighting Goku. That's a movie I would watch. But yeah, Space Jam: A New Legacy, due out in theaters July 16th. And as expected, the soundtrack is dropping the week before. Wow, I just realized that always happens with film soundtracks like this. Week before the actual film hits theaters.
Yeah, it kind of does. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, it's like, kind of like, yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, for the big soundtrack release thing here, which I'm guessing this is also the segue into the full credits, you know, section of the film near the end, we have a track from the combined forces of Kirk Franklin and Lil Baby.
That's the part where, like, okay, you got basically one of the Oscar winners right now, and basically, okay, look, I'm saying this: if you're black and you go to church, you will hear you hear this man's music all the time, like you choirs, the hollering, the shouting, all that shit. You recognize Kirk Franklin in a snap.
Like, I kind of figured as much. Like, okay, so the track is called We Win, of course, and I mean, first off, this beat is way better than it has any right to be. I don't know, maybe I just have a soft spot for, like, big, loud, blaring gospel and soul samples in rap beats, because is there ever a time when it hasn't sounded, like, great or at the very least good? That's the best part of the song by a country fucking mile, and Kirk Franklin sounds like a natural at it. And then we get hit by Lil Baby rapping with auto-tune. Because apparently his actual voice isn't obnoxious enough. Fuck me, man.
Lil Baby just, I think he just croons the same rap as William here, which I kind of expected that from Lil Baby. And Lil Baby, and it's all about, like overcoming some shit, like, you know, basically, you know, inspiration spiel, like you care about times on Instagram, like that type of shit. Yeah, it's basically that track, which yes, there was some solid, there was positive things, like, you know, the beat courtesy of one Just Blaze, which good producer, and Kirk Franklin, he did the thing there. This track fascinates me because like the original Space Space Jam soundtrack, like that one has to be too. Even if right now, I possibly, like, even though I don't know if it's gonna be good or not, I'm curious to see how this soundtrack will be. Mainly to see who the fuck they're gonna add in here. Like, who they gonna add in fucking soundtrack, like, what's something going to add to the plot where LeBron James and Bugs Bunny saves, I mean, if he's trying to save his son or play basketball with or save world from evil Don Cheadle?
Say what you will about the movie, the soundtrack is still killer, top to bottom.
Yeah, pretty is. We don't, even though we don't talk about the other song.
No.
We do not.
Monstar's Anthem still slaps.
Yes, it fucking does. And also one weird tidbit, I forgot there's a song performed by Bugs Bunny, Ghost, yeah, by Jay-Z. That is fucking weird. And I know because in the film that was voiced by Billy West. That's Big Frog on the rap now.
Oh God, you know he would. I mean, look, he was probably doing it in the pit at that Beastie Boys concert. Good times.
But at least I can watch that movie in my own home.
Yeah, and not pay extra for it.
Oh God, I think I should know better, but I feel like there's some part of me that's just gonna be bored out of my mind and, like, play. And we're not even going to get the Space Jam sequel we want, where Daffy Duck betrays Bugs with the contract signing. And also gay kissing between Bugs and Michael. You know, Warner Brothers, this is what the people want. Come on. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, there was a new Shabazz Palaces album, you know, about a year or so back. And turns out the guys are actually prepping a rarities compilation called The Lost Vibes of Shabazz, The Skrilla Scrolls. No date attached yet to when this is dropping, but we have a new song from them now called 20 Gear Science. And yep, once again, this very much sounds like Shabazz Palaces, as spacey and numbing and abstract as it can get. Those subdued trap drums, that hazy synth sound swelling up and down in the mix. Ishmael Butler's bars having that heavy amount of reverb and echo as the song goes on. That really weird music video where he's owning a mansion and he's rapping to a pool boy that is also Ishmael Butler, I think.
Yeah,
time and space is confusing in this world.
Yeah, if you listen to the song, I should mention Italio, sounds earlier. This is something like you hear out of like Italian like drumadilla or some shit like that, it does feel like that, man, in the production. But as usual, you got your bad fellas doing their thing, saying shit that you can try to interpret, but you really shouldn't, because at this point, you're just hurting your own brain. This is not a bad part of the song. That's, you know, pretty good.
All right, and moving on to the next track here. So, of course, this is to be expected at some point. Following the success of K-pop superstars BTS through, you know, many years, and especially with their first proper English language track, Dynamite, now it seems about time for them to return to, you know, the English language as well, with their new single, their second one in this language, Butter. And thankfully, this is not a song dedicated to Paula Deen. Thank God.
It's... The title's ubiquitous enough to work in any general mindset, so, you know.
I mean, sure. There are a couple flashes of stacks of pancakes in the video, so obviously they know what's up. Pancakes are very good. But as for the song itself, the closest approximation I can get is that this kind of sounds like the really, really good Carly Rae Jepsen material, that type of, like, you know, modern synth pop music. It's got, like, that really tight groove, even a little bit of, like, synthetic saxophone in there towards the end. And, of course, the interplay between all the guys in the band brings a lot of confidence and swagger that helps, you know, the hooks and everything all land pretty well. This is some pretty solid pop songwriting on display.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely solid in their wheelhouse. Doesn't diverge too far off from what they're best at. It's pretty good. I am eagerly awaiting to see how it'll do on the charts, because, let's see if they can make it happen twice.
I mean, they might have some sustained, momentum, because didn't they drop, like, a Japanese language album not too long ago?
I think so, yeah.
I forget if that was, like, either early this year or, like, sometime late last year, but I'm pretty sure that's something that happened, so... You know, they're probably still in the public consciousness by that point. And speaking of being in the public consciousness, time to move on to the last track here, where, surprise, surprise, we have a brand new single here courtesy of Lil Nas X. Aw, shit, let's go for discourse round two!
So, before we continue, who saw him split his pants on SNL this weekend?
I did not. That
was the thing that happened. He had a little accident with the pants seam.
Wouldn't be the first time that's happened to a man.
Except it was in the front.
Oh.
Okay, I don't know that feeling then. Well, you know, it... who cares? It's SNL. Was anyone really watching anyway? But, yeah, as enthusiastic as that intro might have sound, I don't think the song and video are going to stimulate much in the way of discourse. The track is called Sun Goes Down, and in comparison to the, you know, Spanish flamenco-infused pop bombast and trollish demeanor of Montero, this one is a lot more mellow and contemplative. The beat, the instrumental here, you know, while it's been said that, like, everything on the 7 EP kind of tends towards 90s and 2000s alternative rock trends, this one has more of that downbeat, like, college radio indie rock sort of vibe going on, you know? It kind of sounds like a current era Mac DeMarco kind of instrumental, especially if you can make out those guitars, you know, underneath the rest of the mix. And as I said, it's more sincere in its lyrical intentions, while still sort of being a message of hope to himself. It's a lot more optimistic about, you know, never giving up on life because of the harshness and cruelties thrown his way by pretty much everything. Even in times where he's considering suicide, he shouldn't because, you know, better and bigger things are on the horizon and he shouldn't give up on that. If you're someone who, like, maybe doesn't get Lil Nas X as a meme or something like that, then this song's probably going to do more to win you over than any of the big bombastic ones. I do kind of dig it as a contrast to, you know, as much as I dig the awesomely trollish nature of that song and its whole album cycle, this one makes for an interesting contrast to it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a very interesting contrast of what he usually does, and it doesn't seem like going into it on himself. Like, yeah, I kind of like what he's doing. The way he goes through stuff, especially in the video we're talking about. Oh, he used to work at that one job too. I feel you.
Yeah, quite the yin-yang approach when you compare Montero to this, because Montero is all about the super in-your-face bombast, while this track here is more inner conflict and turmoil, ultimately leading to, I'll just say, a much more positive outlook in the end, which is good. We need more of that, especially nowadays, where everything is still very much on fire. But, yeah, very good track. I was not expecting this path and this route, but, yeah, once again, I am left surprised and amazed by what this guy can do. Jesus Christ, class of 2017, God. We're old!
And still no sign of a debut album yet. At least full length, anyway. We shall see, hopefully. And with that out of the way, we now have covered all the music stuff for this week, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have just a bit of news to touch on, so stay tuned. And we're back. So our news this week mostly consists of just two festival lineup announcements. You know, because people are being optimistic about this in regards to, you know, the plague, basically. So
yeah.
Back half of the year, people are, I guess, getting their hopes up. And the first of these lineups that we have to talk about is the 2021 lineup for Psycho Las Vegas. Taking place this year, August 20th through the 22nd, at the Mandalay Bay Resort, of course, with a, quote, Psycho Swim pre-party happening August 19th. Yeah, so this is a thing that's happening. And, of course, we have the full lineup, as well as the daily lineups for each day. But, of course, before we get into the festival proper, we should probably touch on the fact that the Psycho Swim lineup has, well, at the very least, they have Old Man Gloom, Bongzilla, Polyrhythmics, Death Valley Girls, The Skull, Blackwater Holy Light, Here Lies Man, and DJ Scott Seltzer. Whoever the fuck that is.
Who are you people?
Ooh. Well, okay, I like Old Man Gloom. Haven't heard of Bongzilla. Well, I've heard of them, but I've never gotten around their shit. But anyway, now we get into what is, of course, always the fun stuff. The day-by-day lineups. Starting, of course, with Friday, August 20th. Your headliner for that day is Emperor. Yes, Uncle Esau's band. Very nice.
How about that?
Of course, following that, you have the likes of GZA from the Almighty Wu-Tang Clan.
How about that?
Okay.
You have Mayhem. Eh.
Eh.
Obituary. Seen them live before? Very good live shows. Ty Segall. Satyricon. Watain. Paul. Is that Kauthin or Kruthin?
I think it's Kauthin.
Yeah, it kind of looks like an... Anyway. The Sword. Cephalic cool. Carnage. Health!
Hey, Health! Yeah.
Oh, nice.
The Bridge City Sinners. Okay. Migwa. Interesting choice. Intronaut. Nice. X-Hoarder. Very good. Pinback. No clue. King Dude. sounds like a parody superhero comic in a kid's cartoon show.
Anyway. Here lies King Dude.
Yeah, anyway, there's also Chemist, Mothership, Toke, Lord Buffalo, Cyclona, Cloud Fontaine, Hippie Death Cult, Foie Gras. Wait, that's seriously a name? Alright.
I think it's Foie Gras.
I've watched enough cooking shows to know they pronounce it Foie Gras. But whatever, who cares? Alms, Mother Mercury, DJ Ethan McCarthy, DJ Scott Seltzer again, DJ Nate Carson, and DJ Painkiller.
Don't use their full name like
yeah.
DJ Nate Carson. Who?
I don't know. Maybe his actual name is more embarrassing, and this is, you know, more dignified.
Maybe.
So basically, if your name is White, but they call you Calvin Harris, since one is his actual name.
Yeah. But anyway, then there's there's Saturday.
Christ. Okay, let's get this over with. Saturday, August 21st. Your headliner is fucking Danzig.
Get out of here, you old man.
Please don't sing any Elvis covers. The people don't want that. Anyway, besides that, your actual headliner, or, you know, the true headliner of Saturday, we have the Flaming Lips. Okay. Weird, but okay.
Sure.
All right, I'm going through the rest of the lineup here. We have Thievery Corporation. All right. Cannibal Corpse.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. We have Dying Fetus.
Also Amazing.
Red Fang.
Cool. Will they bring the katana sword?
I hope that will be awesome. All right, and we have Cursive. Okay. Pig Destroyer.
Oh, that's got to be a hell of a show.
Oh, yeah. All right, we have Poison the Well.
Oh, yeah, from my neck of the woods. They're a great band. Cool. Haven't gotten to see them live, though.
All right. Nola, this is on you. I Hate God.
Eh.
Yeah, all right. Primitive Man.
Ah, that's got to be very loud.
Yeah. Death by Stereo. Okay. Curl Up and Die.
What I do.
Okay. Boy Sets Fire. What a name. Fatso Jetson.
I think that's the drunk. I mean, the drunk uncle of the of, I don't know Le- of Elroy. I want to say Leroy.
Okay, we have Profanatica, whoever they are. All right, we have Adamantium. Yeah, Silver Tomb, Frankie and the Witch Fingers. Okay, Withered, Flavor Crystal, Highlands, Veil Mist, Black Sabbath. That sounds lovely.
Is that supposed to be like one of those all female classic metal covers bands, like the Iron Maidens or Judas Priestess or something?
Let me take a quick look here. Yes.
Ah, okay. Figured all right. Much.
And we have the Tim Dillon Comedy Hour. Okay.
You know, I'm pretty sure the guys at 2 Minutes to Late Night have performed at Psycho Las Vegas a couple times. Unfortunately, I think they said they weren't going to attend this year for reasons.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which would have been a shame, because, you know, I'm pretty sure Gorsinio is, like, a class act live.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, I've seen, like, one or two of, like, the... I think they posted, like, the clips of the live shows over on their YouTube channel. You should give them a watch, anybody listening to this, when you can. Good stuff, they know how to put on a show. But, yeah, with that day out of the way, now we can move on to Saturday, August 22nd.
Sunday.
Why did I say...
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. Fuck. Anyway, at the top, your top billed headliner for this day is Down. You mean, like, ain't that one of Philip Anselmo's many projects?
Yes, it is. Again, Nola, this is on you.
Ah, boy.
At least Down 2 is a good album, but, you know, everything else is not as good.
Anyway, continuing from there, you also have Exodus, you know, for your kids mm-hmm. who like your thrash, or mm-hmm. your old people who like your thrash. I really need to check out more Exodus someday. High on Fire, yes.
Coolness.
Very great live shows. OCs, I guess that's what they're calling themselves this month. Oh my god, the amount of times they've switched up the spelling and grammar of their names is fucking hilarious. There's Amigo the Devil. No clue. Drab Majesty. Okay. Crippled Black Phoenix. Weed Eater. Full of Hell.
Hey, very nice pick.
I've also seen them live a goddamn triple plus. There's also Midnight. Repulsion. Cult of Fire. Zola Jesus. Wait, Zola Jesus? Seriously? Huh. Interesting choice. TSOL. Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears. That's a name. Guantanamo Baywatch.
I would watch that show.
That sounds like... You know, that sounds like a gag that would open an episode of The Critic. Am I wrong though?
You're not wrong.
God, that was a great show. Anyway, Immolation.
Mm-hmm.
Dengue Fever. Or Dengue, I'm not entirely sure. Creeping Death. Kanga. Oh hey, Weirish. Riley, you know, Tony Hawk's son's band.
Cool.
You know, I can't believe I didn't actually get to their music until, like, this month. I could have talked about it on the roundup. That's a really good album. But, anyway, moving on. There's also Glacial Tomb, Relaxer, Vitriol, and DJ Scott Seltzer.
Again?
Okay. Okay, that's enough with the DJs.
And, of course, there's also, I guess, the day-exclusive event, Ask Doc, Q&A with Doc McGee. Yeah. I don't know who Doc McGee is.
So, yeah. Good luck to anybody going to Las Vegas in the middle of August when it's like 125 degrees outside.
It'll be hot as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically like standing in a smoker for hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those of you that have to deal with Danzig, I offer my condolences. And maybe a nice egg in these trying times. But, anyway, with that festival lineup out of the way, now it's time for everyone's favorite hard-to-pronounce punchline of the music industry, La La Blah 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 Blah.
Okay, I'm going to try and say it right this time. La La Blah Blah. Fuck.
All right,
some habits all right. Die hard.
Oh, no, I'm going to say it right. La La Blah Blah the fucker.
La La Blah Shamalaba Ding Dong.
La La Pele Mama Sama Sakusa. Or something. I forget how that song went. But yeah, you get the gist by now. So yeah, Lollapalooza 2021.
That's how you say it. Okay.
Taking place July 29th through August 1st at its usual location of Grant Park in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, Chicago. Mayor Lori Lightfoot's territory. God fucking damn.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And their lineup, well, it's one long ass list. There's no date decide shit like usual. It's just like a whole bunch of names. A whole bunch of names just listed all the way down there.
The only thing we can assume is that the top four names are the top four headliners for each of the four nights. That's it. Everything else,
yeah,
we don't know.
Yeah, and you know what? Do you mind taking over this?
Okay, if you think you can go through the whole list.
All right.
A lot of shit.
Okay.
Here. All right. Our top four performers are the Foo Fighters. Post Malone. Yeah. I have to be shocked by Jason Statham in that one movie that no one saw. Yeah, keep doing that. And there's Miley Cyrus over there. Oh, but look over here. Who we have right here? It's Tyler, Creator.
New album, please.
Yes.
All right. Next lineup we got is we got the other baby. Duh.
Let's go.
Yeah. We have... Oh, Marshmallow. Illidium. Shit. Everybody's even an old band that always sing about. Or sing to. Journey.
God, I'd be more into them if one of their members wasn't associated with all of that shit going on.
Wait, for real?
It's a long story. I can't get into it, but okay. One of the members' wives is into that stuff.
Okay. You know what? You're just too long. Okay. Next person. Mega Stallion. Yeah. Mega Stallion. You're Mega Stallion. All right. And we got. Roddy Rich. All right. Alright, and now, the rest of the lineup, we have, Kate Trinata.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Brockhampton.
Now get the fuck out my ride.
Playboi Carti, okay. Grammy Award winner, Young Thugger, man. Limp Bizkit.
That's a typo. They actually meant to say Flaccid Pancake.
That album is never gonna come out.
Please let it never come out.
All right, we got Modest Mouse. Okay, I heard him a while. Jack Harlow, remember him? Kind of. I don't know. Polo G.
Okay.
Alright. Trippie Redd. Remember him? Suicide Boys. Alice in Wonderland, which I actually have heard before, mainly due to Carolyn Tuesday.
Huh.
Yeah. You got Slander. Steve. Aoki.
Ah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, we got Brittany Howard.
Good.
Bands of Horses.
Not to be confused with Horse the Band.
Jimmy Eat World.
Huh, they're still around.
Must be nice to be a one-hit wonder band.
Dermot Kennedy.
Okay.
Young the Giant. Love.
I don't know.
Whatever. Gibeon. Angels and Airwaves. I guess not a good thing.
Some of the guys from Blink 182, I think.
No, not some of the guys. The guy who's obsessed with UFOs.
I thought he was with something else.
No. The guys at Blink 182 did Plus 44. Remember that whole thing from like 15 years ago?
Ew.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing. Oh, fuck, right. I was thinking of Alkaline Trio. I think that's where the new Blink vocalist is from. Something
entirely different. Yeah.
Okay, then. All right, you got Ian Dior. St. John. All Time Low.
They're still around. Jesus.
Fuck.
Mountjoy. Mark
Rebillet.
Oh, Rebillet. Okay, sorry. Whitney. Yes, Whitney.
Huh.
Dominic Fike. Surfaces.
Chami.
Chami. Okay, let's go with that. Jules.
Jaws.
Okay, fuck.
Remember, they collaborated with Skrillex on an Adult Swim single many years back.
Oh, shit, that's right. Oh, hey, Freddie Gibbs. All right. Hey, why is he right down there? Should he be higher than...
Lower build than Limp Bizkit. I'm going to bring that up several times here.
You have got to be shitting me.
Yeah. Okay, and it's more coming. They've got the front bottoms. Big Wild. Kim
Petras, I think.
Petras. I'm fucking up names tonight. Yellow Claw. Subtronics. Oliver Weldon. Heldens. Cash. Where's my cash? Oliver Tree. Omar Apollo. Ash. LP. Not the big piece of the other LP.
No. Something else.
Yeah. That one guy that did a song that popped on TikTok, but then no one heard of again. Tim McRae, right?
Yep.
All right. Earth Gang.
Interesting. All
right. We Go Nasty.
Come on. Don't do her like that, Lollapalooza.
Lower build than Limp Bizkit.
Yes. See for the next one, too. It's JPEG Mafia.
Lower build than Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Jacob Banks. White Reaper. Peekaboo. What the fuck? Olivia O'Brien. Orville Peck. Princess Nokia. Cautious Clay. Dayglow. That other TikTok guy that made a song that they got big in. Give shit about again.
I'm gonna have to dive into Zoomer Pop one of these days, aren't I?
Yep. Yeah. Flo Milli. Bia. Flip De Niro. Tonight.
Where the hell have they been the last 5 years?
I don't know.
Are we supposed to know them?
I don't know.
I know them because they did a they had a song in a Tsunami video like in 2013, 2014? I don't know. It was a long time ago.
It's a lot. Okay, we got... All right, we got Boy Pablo. Elohim. Cam. Slow Tie. Wow.
Lower Bill. Yeah. You know the drill.
Yeah, Lower Bill. Big Jenkins. Who is... And he's Lower Tilden? Okay. You're not the one, but still... Still, really? Okay, we got Toby Lowe, Drama, Grandson, Cave Town, I guess that same Tootsie from did that one fucking dance.
Oh god. God damn it.
Nova Area, Sylvian King, Diamond, Say My Name, all together. Right 10, Lost Kings, Dombrisky, Wooly, Armor. Hold up. Ain't that one group that do a country shit? Okay, anyway. That's a lot of fucking names. Ed Maverick, Max Hines, Porches, Emotional Oranges, Black Pistol Fire, Peace Street Rascals, Illerbrook, Jesse, Dr. Freesh, Cannons, Adventist Culture, Gus Dapperton. Well, that's not what. Oh, yeah, I think I got the name before. Johnny, Sir Chloe, LP Gobi, Sid, The Backseat Lovers, Clever, Golf Bay, Mitchie Gander, Ty Burdens, William Black, Rookie, Jesse J, Almost Money, Ann Clemens, Child, Joy, Aldo Kulin, Knight, LaBelle, Allie and AJ. Wait.
Yes, aren't that Allie and AJ.
The fuck? Wasn't one of them like on that freaking Phil of the Future show, I think?
Yep.
Yeah. And again, lower build than Limp Bizkit. By a lot.
Wow.
Damn, I did not expect them to be lower than the... Okay. Okay, damn. We've got Chompa, Vanessa, Level Up, Blossom, Won't You Day, Moby Rich, Namja, Sophie Cates, Nez, Sebastian Paul, Brownies, Eliminate All Stars, Ann Saunders, Wrench, Kid Quill, Contra Dash, Mafika, Absol Facto, Lasbury, Laura Sanderson, Kenny Mason, Flynn, Sophia Vides, Serena, Al-Sumida, Taylor Jensen, Payday, Kristen French, Jack Ross, Racky, Jake Wesley, Rogers, oh my god, Sarah Barrios, Nate Francis, Sarac, Charm LaDonna, More Kissment, Julian LaMadrid, Shai Carter, Holco, Elvin Hart, Margaret Hotel, Otto with 3 T's, the Aqua Dolls, and Jake Dewey. Motherfucker, that is a long ass list.
And as always, the who are you people rule applies in full force. Are we sure half of these weren't, like, thrown out of a name generator? Because you have an LP and then you have an LB. Honestly, that looks like it says G-O-B.
G-O-B.
Like Gio, like Giorno, Giovanna. Now there's someone they should have invited to this festival. Giorno's Piano. Even though you know it would still get lower billed than Flaccid Pancake.
Oh my god. You tell me that the people like people like Slow Tie or Freddie Gibbs or Jimmy Mafia or Rico Nasty, they was lower than the band from the man that directed a bad George Vulture movie or two.
Yeah.
Ah, jeez. Why Limp Bizkit? Who cares? Like, I know you probably have people who do, like, market research for you, who check logistical trends and try to see who's, you know, on the road and who could be the biggest draw for festivals and shit, but, like, no one cares about Limp Bizkit. The most that anyone has ever cared about anything that any member of Limp Bizkit did ever was when Mostly for Millennials was airing on Adult Swim. Fucking DJ Fred Durst, yo. That's only in the context of Adult Swim shitposting. But just, you know, for those of you that want to go to your dumbly named festivals to watch, you know, Limp Bizkit rank higher than Rico Nasty, fine, go for it. But with those festival lineups out of the way, that pretty much covers the news this week.
There's something else we have to talk about.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, is this where we have to revisit the pin from earlier?
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. You have the floor, sir.
Yeah, so I've been very quiet tonight because there wasn't a whole lot of rock and metal stuff going on this week. But apparently that decided to change on Monday because Megadeth. You might have heard that their bass player, David Ellison, was in a little bit of hot water, getting caught in the midst of, in polite terms, a sex tape scandal. Notably with someone who shared a video of him doing something that I'm not going to mention. All I'm going to say is it involves hands, and it involves himself.
Oh, boy.
And there were also screen caps of text messages between Ellison and this woman. For the record, he's 56. She's at least 18. So, you know what?
Oh, boy.
Fine. But three problems. One, I'm pretty sure David Ellison's a born-again Christian. Two, I'm pretty sure he's married. And three, dude, everybody has a phone. Talk about a gigantic lapse in judgment.
He's a born again Christian. Oh, he's one of those types that.
And yeah. Wait. It's one of those situations.
Yikes.
So, as this was building up and developing, Ellison decided to either shut down his social profiles or just go in private mode. And per statements from the band, they said that they were, quote, watching developments closely. And on Monday, they said the following. We are informing our fans that David Ellison is no longer with Megadeth and that we are officially parting ways with him. We do not take this decision lightly. While we do know every detail of what occurred, with an already strained relationship, what has already been revealed now is enough to make working together impossible moving forward. We look forward to seeing our fans on the road this summer, and we cannot wait to share our brand new music with the world. It is almost complete. Dave Mustaine, Megadeth, May 24th, 2021. So, I've made a couple of statements about my thoughts on Megadeth over the past while. My stance is that for the past about 20 years now, Megadeth has just been a gigantic Dave Mustaine solo project.
Pretty much.
Considering his stance as more of a businessman with how he sees the band, especially with various record label dealings and subsequent goings-on within the band, it's very clear to me that Dave Mustaine definitely sees Megadeth as a business first and a band second. Because this is not the first time David Ellison's been out of the band. The first time around, there was a lawsuit between him and Mustaine that I think there was a settlement involved somewhere down the line, and he did come back in the band. Now it seems like he's out for good, and the choice wording in the statement, an already strained relationship, that's a bit of a sign that things were starting to go south a little bit quicker, and that may have less to do with Ellison its role in the band and more to do with Mustaine's stance as the businessman of the band. I'm just going to take this for what it's worth, but I'm definitely thinking this was meant to be just an easier out for the band to excuse him out of the role and, yeah. And, if I have to remind all you again, I will. Rule number two exists for this very reason. Don't get caught with your pants down. Especially with somebody over 35 years younger than you.
Yeah.
Somebody clearly hasn't watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia now, have they?
Oh, Christ above. So, they don't have to find a new bass player in the next 3 months. I'm sure they'll find someone to do it, but, yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully that someone isn't guilty of things. God, I hope not. But with that last minute news out of the way, now it is time to move on to the last bit of proper business here, and that is the new album releases for the week of May 28th, 2021. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Noise Rocker's Black Midi with Cavalcade. We have the second new EP this year from Of Mice and Men with Bloom. We have a new EP coming out from Gwar, The Disc with No Name. We have a new full-length from Perturbator, Lustful Sacraments. We have the newest LP, you know, the newest full-length from rapper Backwash with I Lie Here Buried with My Rings and My Dresses. And we're getting a posthumous album from the late DMX with Exodus. So now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I continue to lose my mind over old-timey Disney films because I'm stupid. I also may be at the beach for the next couple days. I might share some stuff. You never know.
All right, all right. Mark, what about you?
As usual on Twitter, I mentioned the media where at least I'm not feeling better. And just, I don't know, just doing nothing, watching stuff on HBO Max. Mostly Steven Universe again, because fucking why not? Also, on my site, DoublePress.com, where, hey, I just posted something recently. An auto champion episode 9. Got one more left to do because I need to get over already. I'm taking my time.
Yep. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me robert@sorareresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the weekend, so be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that good content. Be sure to visit our Discord as well, so you can, you know, shit post about Space Jam or something. I don't know. Just whatever goes on Discords, you know. And, of course, a shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with the usual weekly business. And until then... Oh, shit. Guys, don't look. The blue border is here. We're fucked.